Amen. Wow. If you have your Bibles, will you go ahead and turn with me to the book of John? We're going to look at John chapter 4. If you've been around for the last few weeks, you know we're in this series called the Red Letter Challenge. And this is week 4 of Red Letter Challenge. This is the next part in the challenge. And if you've been following along in the Red Letter Challenge workbook that we've been working through, then you realize just a couple days ago we hit the halfway mark. Oh, we're halfway there. You fill in the blank. I'm sorry, I just can't help myself sometimes. Holy Spirit, more and more of you. But this week, you've probably noticed the last few days as we've started this next part in our Red Letter Challenge. This week, we've been focusing on the words of Jesus, the red letters in our Bibles, in relation to serving. And so day 22 is where we're at today. And I'd love for you to grab the handout that's provided for you as we take some notes together and journey through this idea of what it means to serve. Now, let me just make this promise to you. If you're going to fill in the blanks on your handout, I promise, unlike Pastor Chris next week, if you're a note taker like me, I promise to not change the slide too quickly to where you can't get the whole note. Did anybody else get aggravated by that? You know, he was preaching on anger, and I realized later he was just trying to rise some anger out of those of us who are note takers and couldn't get the whole thing that it was on the slide. So I promise I will not do that to you today. You're welcome. But as a review, as we've been learning about this Red Letter Challenge, we have 5 targets that we're focusing on in this series. I'm going to put them on the screen, and I'd love for us to just call them out together. These 5 things that we are desiring to hear God's words, Jesus' specific words for us, and see that transform our lives. All right, you ready? Let's say them together. Being, forgiving, serving, giving, and going. You got it. So today we're going to focus on the idea of serving. Now, please don't judge me. Some of you saw this picture on Facebook, but I want to show you a real picture, a real quick picture. This was the gift I decided to get for my wife for Mother's Day, as well as Teacher Appreciation Day, just a few months ago. And I think, to spite me, my wife put it on Facebook and said, "Thank you so much to my husband for this thoughtful gift he got for himself for my Mother's Day." Now listen, I know y'all are judging me really hard right now, but I'm telling you, this is just a practical gift, and I serve her every week on that mower. I really do. Now, I know what you're thinking. At least you didn't get her a treadmill. That's what you were thinking. I know. That would just be wrong, and no, I would never do that. But I got some flack about that, but I had to share that picture because it reminds me of a story I shared with our students recently. I want you to picture for just a moment, and this mower, by the way, if you call me on a Friday and I don't answer, it's because me and the Lord are doing business. I do business with the Lord every Friday on my mower. Got my worship music in my ears, and that's just my time, and I love it. So thank you, sweetheart, for letting me borrow your mower. But it's good. But it reminds me of a story. If you've ever mowed grass, I want you to imagine 2 boys mowing 2 separate yards across town from each other. The one boy mows this yard because his father makes him mow the yard. He gets no appreciation. He gets no thank you. He just knows that this is my job, and if I don't do it, I'm in trouble. So he's going to mow that yard in spite of his feelings of disgruntledness towards his father and towards the actual task of mowing. Across town, another boy with another mower in another yard mows the yard like you would never know. And when he's done, his father shows him so much love and appreciation. "What a great job. I love you." Brings out a bottle of water to him while he's halfway through because it's an exhausting task for this young man. And when he is mowing that grass, he mows the yard as best as he knows how. He puts everything he has into mowing that yard to perfection. Both the yards got mowed. Let's not say one looks better than the other, but can we agree that the motives are different between these 2 young men? The man mowing the yard over here is mowing it out of obligation. The guy mowing the yard over here is mowing it out of love and service. And so my prayer today, as we talk about serving others and ultimately serving God by serving others, that we would check our motives. Is it out of obligation because I'm supposed to, or is it out of a desire and a love for the Father? If you're taking notes, I want to give you 2 words. The first word is religion, and religion means do. versus relationship, and relationship means done. What do you mean, Justin? You think for a moment, if you come to church because you have to, out of obligation, parents make you, or you're just raised that way, or I need something out of it, so I'm just going to go out of obligation. That is the do. You see your relationship with God as a religion. We can be religious about all kinds of things, but let's just talk about God for just a moment. It's all about the do's and the don'ts, and I have to be this way. Religion is all about do. Do this, do this, do this. Don't do that. Avoid that. It's a religion. And today I want us to step out of this idea of we are participating in a religion and realize that this is a relationship. Not out of obligation, but out of love. A father who said, it's not about what you can do for me. It's done. Jesus took care of it. He nailed it all on the cross and forgave every bit of it. All the work is done. I just desire a relationship with you, my son, my daughter. So today, as we approach this idea of serving and look at Jesus' words in relation to serving, would you please not see this as an obligation? Well, I have to serve others. But more as a desire and a love because of the relationship we have with our Father. Let me say it like this. We, God's people, are called to serve others just as Jesus set the example for us. We see it all throughout Scripture. So as we think about serving, can I just ask you to take an inventory of this past week of your life? How much time did you spend serving others versus serving yourself? Just put yourself in your situations this week, at school, at work, in the car, when you're at the restaurant, maybe the grocery store, with your family, with your friends, by yourself. Just inventory your heart this past week and think, how much time did I spend serving myself over others? How much time did I think, oh, I'm serving God by serving others, instead of being, if you're like me, so selfish about what do I need and what do I got to get done? And that can happen in a variety of places, as you've heard me mention, at school, at work, at home, online, everywhere we go and in everything we do. So be honest, just be honest. We're selfish people. We are so selfish. If you and I actually took time to take the words of Jesus, the red letters in our Bibles, and his example to heart and lived it out in our lives, how would that look different? How would others be changed by this Holy Spirit that we're singing about and that we're feeling and that we're being empowered by if we actually lived out our lives? The words of Jesus with the power of the Holy Spirit. How different would you be? How different would I be? How different would others be? When you serve and when you help someone else, it brings you the greatest fulfillment. I promise you this. The greatest fulfillment in the world. Let me say it this way. What psychology has determined, and write this down, friends, is that nothing fulfills you more than serving others. Nothing fulfills you more than serving others. Serving others invites you into a life that is bigger than ourselves, than yourself. Our purpose will always flow out of our identity. If we see ourselves as God's servants, then our purpose will flow out of our identity. In fact, the author of the workbook, the pastor who put together the Red Letter Challenge workbook for us, he quotes someone about service, this service mentality, by saying this. He says, a company will promote their quality, value, style, service, selection, convenience, savings, performance, experience, low rates, friendly service, brand names, easy terms, affordable prices, no money back guarantee, free installation, free admission, free appraisal, free alterations, free delivery, free estimates, free home trials, and free parking. No cash, no problem, no kidding, no fuss, no risk, no obligation, no red tape, no down payment, no entry fee, no hidden fees, no purchase necessary, no one will call on you, no payments until September, no, you don't have to, don't forget your free gift. It's a classy, deluxe, custom designed, luxury, prestigious, high quality, premium, one of a kind pencil holder. Yours for the asking. No purchase necessary. Why? Because you are important to us. Have you ever thought to yourself the consumer mentality, society that we live in. The American mindset is the customer is always right. And personally, I like that mindset. Don't you? If something is wrong, you'll fix it for free. If you didn't provide what you promised me, then I expect you to deliver, to replace it with, you know, maybe a little incentive on top of that. Businesses and restaurants try to make you feel and try to make it as easy as possible for the customer to have it just the way we want it. Can I show you a logo? Maybe you've been to this business. Does anybody know the slogan that Burger King has used for the last several years? Just say it. You do. You know. And what is this invisible Whopper? I'm sorry, impossible Whopper that they've brought out. Have you heard about this? It tastes like a Whopper, but there's no beef. We're boycotting that place. Let's just do it together. Because we live in the New Testament, not the Old Testament days, friends. We can eat beef. But think about that for just, I'm just kidding about the boycott. I love me some Burger King. But think about that idea. Have it your way. They had it right. The customers love it. Have it your way is the mentality, this consumer-minded nation that we live in. Really, this consumer-minded world. And I'm afraid, at least in my perspective, I'm afraid that we've even turned into consumer-minded churches sometimes. Consumer-minded Christians sometimes. Friends, you and I have been made by God. And we've been made to serve and to live for something bigger than ourselves. Something bigger than a Whopper or some physical food that we can eat. And that's how Jesus introduces this idea. If you're in John chapter 4, I'm going to begin reading in verse 31. Let me set it up for you. This is a well-known story here where Jesus stops at the well to talk to a Samaritan woman. You don't do that, by the way. That in itself broke several cultural barriers back in the day. But there's a little-known scene in this well-known story. After the woman goes away and the disciples come back, they have gone into town to grab some food for themselves, and John records this conversation. John chapter 4, beginning in verse 31, says this. Meanwhile, the disciples urging him, Jesus, saying, Rabbi, eat. Verse 32, he says, but he said to them, I have food to eat that you don't know about. So the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him something to eat? In verse 34, Jesus says this to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Jesus was more filled when he was serving others and leading them to faith in him. This is a model given all throughout scripture, by the way. I'll give you a few references. I put them on your handout there. You don't have to look these up for time's sake, but listen to these. Mark chapter 10, verse 45 says, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1 says, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10 says, for God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and your love that you have shown for his name by serving the saints as you still do. And then my favorite verse in all the Bible, Colossians 3, 23 and 24. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as a reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. Can I just say this? We have greater fulfillment in contribution than we do in consumption. This consumer mindset has convinced us that what I want, I will get, and I'll do life my way. And we step out of this idea that God is in control of our lives. That God has a better idea. That God knows what he's doing. That God designed us the way he designed us to be. And all of a sudden, contribution is the last thing on our mind because it's all about what I can receive, what I can consume as a consumer. Can I take you back to the illustration of the two guys mowing the lawn for just a moment? We've been homeowners here in Albertville for probably almost 2 years now. And we rented before that a couple different houses. And so I already mentioned to you that my worship time is usually Friday until the rain finally showed up. It was a little sketchy if that was going to happen this week. But it's time doing my yard. It's mowing. And we have these two experiences of the young men that I told you about. One mowing the grass out of obligation and one mowing the grass to please his father out of love. Because he knows his father is already pleased with him. And there's nothing he could do to please his father more. So since we've been in this house and I've been mowing my grass over at the house, I have gone through two gas-powered weed eaters. Does anybody else get aggravated with a gas-powered weed eater? You just yank that thing and it don't crank. There's a difference between yank and crank. Can we just decide that today? So my neighbor, who's a grass cutter himself, he's a lawn man, he gave me another weed eater after he saw I was struggling time and time again on a Friday morning to start my weed eater. He gave me another gas-powered weed eater, and that worked great. I had it worked on by a mechanic, and some of you are judging me right now thinking, you can't work a gas-powered weed. That's just embarrassing. You need to just pay somebody like Bill Elkins to come over to your house and do it for you. Just bear with me. So I decided I'm going to try a battery-operated weed eater. Anybody ever tried that? You with me? This is amazing. This has changed. I'm not as strong as I used to be because I'm not doing this for 30 minutes. But I'm telling you, this thing has changed the world. You just charge your battery and go to work. You want to come test it? Come here. Let your hair cut real quick. No, I'm just kidding. But listen, I don't mow the grass and I don't weed eat. Some of you are thinking, oh, I just spray Roundup. I ain't got time to weed eat. That's cool too. But I like the edges. Sorry. A little OCD. But some of you are thinking he's just mowing that grass, making it look pretty to please his wife, to think his neighbors are, you know, so impressed with his yard looking immaculate, which it really, I'm not about that. But I'm promising you today, we treat the Lord and his desire for us to serve others and contribute instead of consume like it's an obligation rather than out of love. So think for just a moment, if you can. Contributing is so much more than consuming. Contributing out of love is so much more than contributing or working out of obligation. Like most religions in the world, have you ever thought about this? Most religions in the world, out of all the religions in the world, Christianity, as far as I know, is the only one where God comes to us instead of us trying our hardest to get to God. I mean, just that idea right there. Wow. Amazing. I heard a story one time about quicksand. I've never been in quicksand. I can't imagine what it's like. But according to an ancient legend, a man became lost in his travels and found himself wandering into a bed of quicksand. Confucius saw the man and his predicament and said this: "It is evident that men should stay out of places like this." Next, Buddha comes by and, of course, observes the situation and says this: "Let the man's plight be a lesson to the rest of the world." Then Muhammad came up, noticed the sinking man and said, "Alas, it is the will of God." And last but not least, finally, Jesus appeared on the scene. And what did Jesus do? "Take my hand, brother, and I will save you." Have you ever thought about that? Out of all the religions in the world, out of all these ideas, ours is the only one about a relationship. Jesus did all the work. Done. Not do, do, do. Get there, get this. You can achieve that. Here's your reward because of your... No. Done. If we personally know this servant king, the servant of all servants, I like to think, then why can't we be of the same mind and heart and just go and serve him? Here's a question. I'd love for you to respond. I'd like some audience participation here. Where can we serve? Would you just go ahead and call out any location you could think of where you could possibly somehow, some way serve God? Where can we serve him this week? Just call it out. I heard school, grocery store, work, home, church. It sounded like you said Thousand Island. Is that what she said? I'm just thinking about salad right now. Nursing home. Okay, that's a good one. Anybody else? Subway. In your heart. Or in your car, too. Yeah, with your heart. That's a good one, too. Anybody else? I mean, we could think of numerous locations. We could list places all day because the truth is we could serve God anywhere and in any way. But the idea is not that there are plenty of places to serve within the church or with the help of this church, but the idea is where can you serve outside of these walls? Where can you go to serve God in your everyday lives? If you've been working through the workbook this week, I just want to give you a recap and then a little preview of what's coming. I like to call these the red letters of serving. This week we're all about serving. So what are the red letters of serving? Here's a little recap of the scriptures that we are looking at this week in the Red Letter Challenge workbook. If you love me, you will obey my commandments. John 14:15. Remember that one? If anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant to all. Mark 9:35. How about today's, if you've already read it? When you give a dinner, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, etc. From Luke 14:13. Tomorrow we're going to read, love your neighbor as yourself. Matthew 22:39. Let the children come to me. Matthew 19:14. I was sick and you took care of me. Matthew 25:35. Let your light shine before others. Matthew 5:16. You see, serving others was God's plan from the beginning. I don't know if you've realized that. But we can trace it all throughout Scripture, even before Jesus shows up and gives us these specific red letters of serving. God's plan has always been about serving others. And we should stick to what works. We should stick with the plan. Let me show you a picture. That's what the great rapper, the great actor Will Smith has done. I was reading about him the other day. He moved from West Philadelphia, born and raised. I know you were just thinking singing it. I was thinking about singing it too, but no. He moved from West Philadelphia to L.A. with the goal of being the biggest movie star in the world at the age of 21. Did you realize this? See, many people move out to L.A. with that goal, but he had a plan. You see, Will Smith did some research, and he noticed that the top 10 grossing movies of all time up to that point, he did some research about those movies, and he saw a pattern. He said this, we realized that 10 out of 10 had special effects, 9 out of 10 had special effects with creatures, 8 out of 10 had special effects with creatures and a love story. So he set out to do movies with special effects with creatures that feature a love story. And can we just look for a moment at Will Smith's career, his 6 most successful movies? Number 1, Independence Day, special effects, creatures, love story, $117 million. Suicide Squad, special effects, creatures, love story, $746 million. Hancock, special effects, $624 million. Men in Black 3, special effects, creatures, love story, also $624 million. Men in Black, the first one, special effects, creatures, love story, $589 million. And I Am Legend, special effects, creatures, and if you count the dog, a love story, $585 million. You see, you stick to what works, and that's what Will Smith did, and he has more than 4 billion reasons to show you why that's important. Why do I tell you that? Just as Will Smith stuck to a plan, God stuck to his plan. And his plan from the beginning is that you and I would be his representatives. That we would serve him on this planet as best we know how, as long as possible. And we've not done well, church. We've completely missed the mark. We're using a target as an example. And sometimes we've missed the mark when it comes to serving. And you and I are convinced that if I serve out here on the fringe where it's a little more comfortable for me, I'm still serving. But we've missed what he's called us to do. We've stuck inside our comfort zone rather than go exactly where he calls. Think back to the Old Testament. Here's an example for you. Exodus chapter 19. Let me read verses 4 through 6. It says, "You yourselves have seen what I did for the Egyptians, how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." Verse 5, "Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples. For all the earth is mine." And then he says in verse 6, "And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel." I see right here that God has always intended for us to be his mouthpiece, his hands and feet, his visible presence in the world today. And the Bible calls us priests. Priestess Megan, Priest Drew, Priest Shannon, Priestess Joan. I mean, we are his treasured possessions, his priests, his priestesses. Put it in New Testament. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says this, "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession." Why? It says, "So that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of the darkness and into his marvelous light." Speaking of shining a light, you're a light, you know that. We see it all throughout Scripture. Because you have his light within you if you know Christ personally, we see Matthew chapter 5 commands us. Verse 14 says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket. Put it on a stand, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. And in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Did you catch it? I feel like every scripture we could ever read that has meaning to our lives relates to this idea that we represent him in this world. And we have not done well. We can do better. Hear me now, church. You were made to shine. You were also made to fly. I love eagles. Anybody with me? Eagles are pretty cool. Let's take a journey through a live cam of an eagle. Can we look? Oh, there's a live cam of an eagle's nest. This is in Iowa. Ohio? Somewhere. I can't remember. It's a real eagle. That's not a very appropriate view. I'm sorry. But the eagle is making his nest. And I did a little research and I love this. We've seen many pictures. Thank you. We've seen many pictures of eagles' nests from afar. Like up in a tree, a beautiful nest that's created, but rarely do we get to glimpse inside of the nest. And I love this live cam feed. As you watch this, I want you to think about this idea. I never realized this about eagles. When a mother eagle builds her nest, she actually starts with thorns and broken branches and sharp rocks and a number of other items that seem entirely unsuitable for the project. But then she lines the nest with a thick padding of wool, feathers, fur from animals that she's killed, making it soft and comfortable for the eggs. But by the time the growing birds reach flying age, the comfort of the nest and the luxury of these free meals that they've been receiving, and they're quite reluctant to leave, ends. That's when, and maybe you've heard this term, that's when the mother eagle begins to stir up the nest. She starts thrashing around, and of course, all the soft bedding and all the wool and all the fur is knocked out. And what does that reveal? Where she started with those sticks and those thorns and those sharp rocks and those things that don't seem suitable. As the bedding is plucked up, the nest becomes more uncomfortable to the young eagles. Eventually, this, as well as other urgings, prompt the young eagles to leave their once comfortable abode and move on to more mature behavior. And you know that usually means they fly and they live. So today I just have to ask this question. If we're feeling like the Lord is prompting us to more mature behavior, the next step in our journey, if we're uncomfortable in that place of just kind of sitting on the fringe of serving others and reading a little bit of my Bible, and that makes me feel good, but oh, I'm going to avoid that part because that part's a little uncomfortable and I'm not ready for that. Maybe today God is stirring up your spirit. The Holy Spirit is stirring you inside right now to just say, it's time for a more mature behavior. It's time to fly. So I end with this question, as Pastor Chris does every week. What is your next step? If you're taking notes, I want to give you three ideas that I hope will move us into this idea of flying. First is this: maybe your next step is that you need to be reminded you are the plan and there is no plan B. Do you hear me, church? You are the plan and there is no plan B. So shine. Fly. Be who God intended you to be. Can you just be reminded today that you are not an accident? You are not unworthy to the Father. You are not good enough. You are not good enough, that mentality we get ourselves in. One day I'll be ready. You are the plan now. So maybe you need to ask yourself, like I need to ask myself all the time, do I need to get to this altar this morning and make my heart right when it comes to living out this plan, reminding my heart that Jesus loves me, that religion is about do, but my relationship with God is about done, that He wants to use my life. You are the plan. Secondly, we represent God best when we serve others well. Have you ever thought about that? You and I represent God best when we serve others well. So I guess the question for my life and for your life today is, how are you representing Him well? Everywhere you go, where do you need to confess and to seek His forgiveness of how you've been misrepresenting our Father? And the best way to know how to represent Him is to talk with Him. That's called prayer. It's to hear from Him. That's called reading His Word. It's to spend time walking with Him among other like-minded believers. That's called, maybe you need to join this church, or maybe you need to be more consistent in your walk by being a part of this church. Third and finally, can I just tell you, maybe today you just need to look. Look for practical ways to serve God by serving others this week. Just look. Be on the lookout. Pay attention. See people in situations from the eyes of the Father. As you go to the restaurant, as you spend time getting ready for the school week tonight, as you head to work tomorrow, as you spend time with those people that you know you can't stand, but you have to be around them anyway. See people and situations through the eyes of Jesus this week. I mean, that's why next week, speaking of serving, we're having what's called the Great Grocery Giveaway. I hope by Wednesday night you'll donate a lot of canned food items so that we can pack them next Sunday right after church and actually carry them in bags to people in need around our community. Simple way, 30 minutes or less right after church, to practically serve those around us. The Great Grocery Giveaway. You don't need a church to help you do that. You could do it with your family. You could do it with your coworkers. You could serve God in any way, shape, or form as He calls you to. Serving God is a privilege. But for too many of us, oftentimes, it's an obligation. And I'll just confess right now that sometimes I see serving God as an obligation. What am I going to get out of it, God? That's exhausting. Have you seen how busy my life has been? But that's that religion mindset. There we go again. Instead of that relationship that's been provided for me. So my prayer for every one of you, my prayer for my life as well, as we seek to serve others, we'd realize that we're serving God. And if we're seeking more opportunities to serve God, we'd realize that the most practical way to do that is by serving others around us. So you get that person, you get that neighbor, you get that friend, you get that coworker, you get that classmate in your mind right now. And you start praying, God, how can I serve this person? How can I serve in this situation? Use me, Lord, for your glory. Let's pray. Jesus, you are the ultimate example of service. You gave your life up for us because you love us. Because your forgiveness is real. Because your Spirit empowers us. And our lives are different. And our service should be different. So this morning, I pray specifically for my brothers and my sisters. Whoever and however you are calling them to serve. Make us uncomfortable, Lord. Help us to represent you well, Father. Our lives will be more fulfilled when we serve instead of seek to be served. Help us to step out of our selfishness and to see people from your eyes this week. Help us to take to heart these red letters, the words of Jesus and the example of Jesus, by giving ourselves and by representing you in everything that we say and everything that we do in the weeks ahead. And Lord, thank you for the privilege to shine our light so that others would see you through our works and bring you glory. That's all we want. It's all we desire. So Father, if there's some here who need to make a decision, a rededication, would you just move in this moment as we sing to you? Would you move in power, Holy Spirit? Encourage us to leave this place to serve you this week. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together and close the song.